We're studying the grace of God and salvation by grace. After I pray, we'll continue. Lead us, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Honor thy word to the glory of God. We ask it for Jesus' sake, and in his name, amen. On the last two broadcasts, I've been answering the question, why did God love us so much? When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were strengthless, hopeless, enemies of God and sinners, why did he set forth Jesus to be a propitiation for sins? Number one, God saves us, God creates us in Christ Jesus unto good works. We glorify God through good works. We do not attain salvation, we do not maintain salvation by good works, but we glorify God by and through good works. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whether you eat, therefore, or whether you drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. The number one desire of Jesus while here upon this earth was to glorify God in everything he said, everything he did, and every place he went. And he did just that. He glorified the Father. That was the one thing that was uppermost and foremost in his mind and in every move he made. Just before Jesus went to Calvary, he said, praying to the Heavenly Father, I have glorified thy name in the earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Now then, the grace of God was provided that we might be saved to glorify God through good works. Number two, God saves us for a twofold purpose. That is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, number one, should not perish. Number two, but have eternal life. Now, I talked about that, and I said that he not only saves us from the penalty of sin, that we perish not, but the grace of God that saves us teaches us, and through the grace of God we have access, and through the grace of God we stand. Now listen to me very carefully. You say, I don't mean you say, I mean some people say, that if I will hold on, he will hold out. Now I'm not critical, I'm not being sacrilegious, and I'm not making fun. Please don't think that I would make fun or be sacrilegious concerning the grace of God. But if you've ever said, if I hold on, he'll hold out, don't ever say that again. It is very, very unscriptural. You can no more maintain salvation than you can attain. Now, by that I mean, you could never work enough, do enough, give enough to attain salvation. You could never attain salvation through anything that you give, live, or do. Now, it is just as true that you cannot maintain. You cannot maintain salvation. You cannot live the victorious life. You cannot glorify God in living unless you trust in the grace of God. Listen, dearly beloved. Please listen. You say, Brother Green, according to what you're saying and according to what you're preaching, there is not anything for me to do. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can do the one thing that glorifies God more than anything else on earth. What is that, preacher? Have faith in God. In Mark 11:22, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. Now, let me say this to you. He commanded his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He commanded his disciples to follow his steps. He commanded his disciples to abstain from the very appearance of evil, and so on and so on and so on. And I could use the rest of this broadcast quoting scripture. But let me tell you now, the number one command of Jesus to his disciples, the number one command, the number one advice, the number one suggestion, the number one thing that Jesus wanted most of all in the lives of his disciples, have faith in God. Why? Paul tells us later, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Now let me say this to you. the most honorable thing you can do while traveling this pilgrim journey, the most honorable thing you can do, the one thing that you can do that will glorify God more than anything else that you can do while you live upon this earth, is to believe God simply, because God is God. If God said it, believe it, and do not ask for signs, feelings, do not ask for anything. If God said it, believe it. And in so doing, you'll honor God more in doing that than any other thing you can do. You might be able to write a check today for $1 million and give it to missions. There are men in America that could write a check for $1 million and give it to missions and have millions left. But if you could, if you were able to write a check for $1 million and mail it to a mission board, that would not be so honorable and so glorious in the sight of God as you simply believing God. For instance, God so loved you that he gave Jesus to die for you. And God said, if you'll believe on my Son, I'll save you. Him that cometh to Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. Now let me show you something. In John 6:37, the Bible, God's holy word, simply and clearly and plainly says to you and to me, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm speaking to people right now, this very moment. I am speaking to individuals who have come to Jesus. You have gone to the altar in your church. You have bowed down at the front bench. You have bowed down in a prayer room. You have bowed down in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your living room. You've been on your knees, some of you 50 times, and you've begged and you've prayed and you've begged and prayed and cried and wept and agonized, and some of you have gotten down on your face in the floor. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus fell on his face in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was prostrate on the ground praying. There's nothing wrong with falling on your face if you want to, and if you feel constrained to do so, you go ahead, bless your heart, and that's all right. But let me tell you, don't go to the altar and beg God to save you and cry unto God to save you and then get up and tell me that God didn't save you. Now listen to me, beloved. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, you say, preacher, I don't know whether I came or not. Well, what were you doing on your knees begging God to save you if you were not sincere? Hypocrites do not go to the mourner's bench and beg God in agony to save them. Let me tell you now, Pharisees pray in the street corners. Hypocrites pray in the street corners where they can be seen of men. Hypocrites and Pharisees do not go to the mourner's bench. They do not bow in their kitchen. They do not bow in their bedroom and beg God to save them with tears streaming down their cheeks. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Some of you precious ladies, mothers, young men, young women, granddaddies, grandmothers, you've cried and wept and begged God to save you. And you say, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I doubt that God saved me. I'm not sure. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. God said he would, and God can't lie. And if you have sincerely, with all your heart, if you've called upon God, if you have come to God, and in Jesus' name you've asked God to save you, remember the word of God. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. It's not God's will that any perish. 2 Peter 3:9. Now, you believe God, and that's the most honorable thing you can do, and that'll glorify God more than anything else you can do. All right, now let me hurry because time is slipping. This grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. How can I know ungodliness? Anything that is not godly is ungodly. Anything that does not glorify God glorifies the devil. I pointed out in the last broadcast all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I was dealing with the temptation of Jesus when we left the radio on yesterday. The devil came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. Now you'll find this in Matthew chapter 4. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, but he did not change the stones into bread. Why? It is true that he was hungry. He'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In John 6, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. What did he mean? He meant, except you believe my word, except you appropriate my word, except you take my word into your heart by faith, you do not have life. Now, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, he meant that man is not to satisfy the lust of the flesh, but he is to satisfy the spirit by feeding upon the word of God. But the devil didn't give up. Now there's the lust of the flesh. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now watch this. In verse 5, Matthew 4, 5, the devil taketh him up into the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and he setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. He took Jesus up into Jerusalem, and he put him upon the pinnacle of the temple. You say, Brother Green, do you believe that? Why shouldn't I believe it? Certainly I believe it. Why wouldn't I believe it? It's in the word of God. And so Jesus, the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. That is, if you're the Son of God, the angels will take care of you. Cast yourself down. They'll bear thee up in their hands, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now the devil said, if you are the Son of God, jump off of the pinnacle. The angels will take care of you. They'll let you down softly and tenderly. So if you're the Son of God, jump off. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil tempted Jesus through the lust of the flesh and then the pride of life and now the lust of the eye. The devil doesn't give up. So he taketh Jesus into an exceeding high mountain, probably over on the Mount of Olives, over in that section. And he put Jesus upon the mountain, and he said, do you see all these kingdoms of the world and the glory of these kingdoms? Now he said, all these I'll give thee if you'll fall down and worship me. Well, now you say, preacher, that's crazy, because the devil could not have done that. We read in Luke, and the Holy Ghost uttered the words, and Luke penned them down. The devil said, these kingdoms are mine to give to whomsoever I will. Paul said, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Paul said, the devil is the god of this age. You see, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it, but Adam subleased it to the devil. Now you hear me, and listen carefully. This earth is the Lord's, but the devil has control of it now from the spiritual standpoint. I mean by that, he is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this age. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. But Adam, in the Garden of Eden, subleased the earth to the devil. God turned the earth over to Adam to take care of, and he sold out and subleased to the devil. One of these days, bless the Lord, O my soul, the sublease will run out. Then God and Jesus will kick the devil off the earth, and Jesus will personally put him in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, and he'll be tormented eternally. So the devil taketh Jesus up into a high mountain, and he tempts him through the lust of the eye. He said, you see all those kingdoms out there? I'll give you all those kingdoms, and I'll give you the glory of those kingdoms if you'll just fall down and worship me. Just fall down and worship me. You see, the devil is jealous of God. He always has been since he became a devil. He was not a devil in the beginning. He was the anointed cherub. He was the high sheriff of the throne of God. He had access to the throne of God. He walked up and down in the stones of fire. He was perfect in beauty, and he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in him. And the iniquity that was found in him, he wanted to be higher than God. He did not want to be subordinate to God. He wanted to be above God, and he said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. But God created Lucifer. He was an archangel. He was an angel. And God created him. So the creator is greater than the created. And God cast him out, and he fell. And Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning falling down from heaven. All right. Then Jesus said, that is, when the devil showed him all the kingdoms, Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now let me show you something that is marvelous. Jesus answered the devil every time. The lust of the flesh, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. There is the victory over the lust of the flesh. Number two, the pride of life. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, Jesus is quoting Old Testament scripture. Number three, Satan showed him all the kingdoms. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So, Jesus used the word of God three times to defeat the devil. Now, let me show you something that is glorious. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, in verse 2, by faith we have access. By faith we have access into this grace. By faith we have access into this grace. Now, how do we have access? By faith. How do we get faith to have access? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So, you see, Jesus used the Word of God, and if we want to overcome the devil, we also employ the Word of God. Answer the devil with Scripture. For instance, you've asked the Lord God to save you. Now, if you hadn't, if you are a doubter, you wouldn't be doubting. You wouldn't have anything to doubt. If you had not asked the Lord to save you, a sinner who has never approached God in the interest of salvation certainly does not doubt salvation because he has never attempted to be saved. So, the very fact that you doubt, if you are a doubter, proves that you have approached God, or you've asked God, or you've called upon God. Now, let me show you something. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, but how? Born of God. Now all of that is Scripture. If you have sincerely come to Jesus, if you have sincerely asked him to save you, I guarantee you on the authority of God's infallible word that you're saved. In Hebrews 6:18, it declares it's impossible for God to lie. And in Titus 2:1, God cannot lie. The word of God is God's truth. And God cannot lie in his word. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let me repeat for emphasis. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are saved by God's grace, but saving grace becomes ours by faith. And faith to appropriate grace, faith to receive grace, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. So, hear the Word, receive the Word, believe the Word, stand on the Word. And I'll guarantee you, you'll never drop into hell standing on the Word of God. Now let me go back to the verse that I'm discussing today primarily. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's the first blessing, we'll say, the first part of the twofold blessing, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, it's wonderful not to perish in the flames of an eternal hell, but it is much more wonderful to have eternal life. So, God allowed Jesus to go through all that he went through. God allowed him to suffer all that he suffered. And God allowed him to do all that he did as he tabernacled among men, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he suffered in Pilate's hall, as he hung between heaven and earth on the cruel cross, as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God permitted it, God allowed it, in order that you might not perish, but have eternal life. That is, if you will receive the gift of God, eternal life, through God's saving grace. Have you had an experience of salvation by grace through faith? I didn't ask you if you have been baptized. I didn't ask you that at all. I said, have you been saved by grace? If you haven't, you're lost. And I beg you right now to bow your head and close your eyes and ask God to save you. For Jesus' sake, and God will save you. Father, honor the precious word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood. And by thy grace, save every soul that is calling upon you now. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, honor and glory. Amen.